everyone. Welcome to today's episode. You are in for another treat today as I have a special guest who is going to share with you some of her story, but also how God can take what has happened in our life and turn it into a place of healing and redemption, not just for us, but for those who he calls us to reach out to. And my guest today is Tammy Tony Butler. Welcome, Tammy, to the stage.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. I'm looking forward to our conversation today, but let me just formally introduce you to our guests, to our audience. So Tammy has a ministry called Reflective Spaces Ministry, which is a nonprofit founded by Tammy, a former emergency department nurse and sexual assault nurse examiner. Following the whisper of the Holy Spirit, she and her husband relocated to Lee County, Florida after selling all their possessions. Wow, that's a story that we need to hear, I'm sure. They purchased a 10-acre parcel of land to begin a trauma-focused prophetic healing ministry. Tammy is a survivor of the child sex trafficking, was transformed by her faith in Christ, and is on a mission to empower survivors to start their transformative journey as they find peace, calm, and serenity. Tammy is also a published author and a subject matter expert on human trafficking and trauma-responsive care. She has publications featured in the National Library of Medicine, is an international speaker on human trafficking, and she has an extensive presentation list, which includes speaking at the United Nations, WHO, World Health Organization's Year of the Nurse and Midwife Civil Society briefing, and on and on. She has been retained as an expert witness and a network television panelist, and she credits all her healing success to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Tammy has embraced her office as a prophetess and has become the mouthpiece for God's message of hope and healing worldwide. Wow. There is much to this woman. We've probably only skimmed the surface. But I'm excited, Tammy, to have this conversation. One, not only because I want to, you know, be able to share your story and be able to help our listeners, those who are listening or those who are listening, you know, people to be able to have hope and healing from trauma or from similar circumstances that you've gone through. So tell me a little bit about, so you were an emergency department nurse and a sexual assault nurse examiner, but prior to that, you were trafficked as a child. Tell us a little bit about how that happened. Like, how old were you and what were the circumstances?
Well, it was only when I wrote an article published in the National Library of Medicine on human trafficking that I realized that my mother would have been considered to be the perpetrator that opened me up to victimization. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was just the victim of multiple childhood sexual assaults. And I learned through the knowledge that I gleaned that it was actually familial sex trafficking. And I was in kindergarten around that age when it started and made a sex slave for many, many years.
Wow. 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 This is really enlightening, you know, what you just said there, because I believe a lot of women and men maybe would be able to relate to what you just said and but never put pieces together. So, wow. So you have experiences where you were sexually assaulted, sexually molested as a child, but not realizing until much later that it was actually sex trafficking. Was this happening in your home or was this happening somewhere else? And I'm asking you these questions, Tammy, because there may be people listening today that might either be in the midst of this or have friends or family members and to be able to kind of bring an awareness to how this happens?
Well, those are great questions. And what made mine sex trafficking, it was a babysitter as well as a stepfather that my mom, you know, married. And we told her what was happening. And she said, "How will I survive? How will I pay the rent? I can't work. I have a nerve problem." And then basically, I became the commercial product that she used to keep a roof over her head and to get food. And it was a long walk down to the woodshed at the back of the property where she would send me knowing what he was doing. Mm-hmm. And I never told on my mom. I want to be clear that my mom was a good mother. Mm-hmm. She had her own generational trauma, and she parented in survival mode, as many do. And mm-hmm. she did the best that she could with the cards that she herself had been dealt. And, you know, many people cope with trauma through addiction and other pathways. And I choose to forgive as Christ would and love. And my mom has gone on to, be with the Lord now. And I lost my dad to suicide. I'd lost him to Vietnam before that. We married him on Father's Day when I was 15. And he had abandoned us as a young girl. And he came back from overseas, wasn't the same, and turned to alcoholism to cope, and then succumbed to that and died by suicide. And so trauma destroyed my family. But with Christ, I have a new family. And I was reborn. You know, I had that rebirth that it talks about in the scriptures, and truly laid down my victim and became a new creature in Christ. I don't drink wine anymore. I don't take Ambien to get to sleep. And I've shed all the layers of the trauma and coping through addiction, all because of Christ. Everything I am is because of his healing power, because there's freedom in the name of Jesus.
Yes, there absolutely is. And I can attest to that as well, going through and being healed. And for my own areas of trauma, that it can be a complete work in Christ.
Yes, ongoing.
Tell me a little bit of how you actually came to know the Lord, how that happened for you.
Well, I always, since I can remember, love Jesus. And I would sit in the bathroom with my Bible as a young girl reading. I don't remember how old I was, and begging God to save me. Mm-hmm. And he didn't. And I had to go out of that bathroom and lay the Bible down and then perform things that you can't even speak of as a child. So I had a beef with God for a long time. But it's through, you know, my work as a nurse, and then just always, I'd walk into chapels at work, and I would just sit there very quiet and hold the Bible and stroke it. But I didn't feel worthy enough or clean enough to reach out and call out to the Lord. And I didn't really know how. And fast forward, a failed marriage later, and then a new wonderful marriage and a great man that really has helped me heal in so many ways. The Lord took me to Ave Maria University. I'm not Catholic, but I went there and basically showed me a book called the Holy Sacrament book. And, the Holy Spirit led me there. And I saw where it said in that book about Jesus being a victim, and that by his stripes we were healed. And that word is past tense. Yeah. And Kenneth Hagin, you know, used to speak of that all the time. But war is past tense. That means healing is ours. We just have to claim it. And so I had to come to a place of surrender. And Jesus said to me, the Holy Spirit said to me, do you want to take that little girl with you? Because the shame, the guilt, the fear, the regret, the panic attacks, the self-loathing, all of it goes with her and the weight of the trauma. Or will you let me have that little girl? Will you leave her here? And when you get up from this bench, will you be a new creature in Christ? Because I sent my son to die so you could live. And I rose up from that park bench, and I was a different person. The icky was gone. The weight of the trauma. I was alive. I heard birds singing and chirping. And I slept like a baby that night. And I had had insomnia for years. And since then, I don't cuss anymore. I used to cuss like a sailor, and I'm sold out for Jesus. I go where he sends me to go. I'm his mouthpiece. And I just want everybody to know that you don't have to carry any of it. You can be totally healed and transformed by Christ.
Wow. Beautiful. So you were in your 20s, I would imagine, when that happened to you. Would that be right? And in college?
Actually, no. It was only about 8 years ago now, 7-8 years ago that I've been on this miraculous journey. And he shed layers and layers, and we sold our house on the golf course, our sailboat, and we moved to a 10-acre parcel of land, and I'm usually in the pasture or, you know, out working with the animals, putting in fencing, or wherever God sends me. You know, I go to Washington, D.C. on, you know, on occasion and you know, do some advocacy work, and just really working to bring freedom to his sheep, to his children, because it's ours. We have to grab hold of it, and we have to realize that we can take the reins and have victory, victory over what the devil tried to take from us.
Exactly. I love how you turn it back on him now because of your overcoming and helping those who need healing and from trauma, from similar thing. And I would imagine, so you used to be or was a sexual assault nurse examiner as well. How was that for you? I mean, assuming that you were still in the midst of your own healing at that point or not even, I don't know. How was that for you to actually begin to be used of that to identify other people and to be able to identify maybe some of the signs that others may not be aware of?
Well, I spent about 28 years in the emergency department, bedside always. And then when I left bedside, I was a little bit lost because I threw myself into being a wounded healer and ignored my trauma for years and thought if I healed everybody else, I'd heal myself. And so I functioned within the chaos of the ER, and then people didn't realize how much chaos was on the inside of me. And so I did that, and then I left there. And in my anti-trafficking work and recognizing that many victims of human trafficking are victims of sexual assault, they are not being identified, they're being missed. And that led me to be trained as a sexual assault nurse examiner. I spent 3 years in the field doing that. And I, you know, really would put my body armor on, as it says in Ephesians, and I would pray myself up before I would go. And I just saw everybody as someone that truly needed just someone to actively listen and to be there with no judgment, because it's love, you know, it's the love and caring and compassion that transforms. And my job was to show them that love and to let them realize that even if they wanted to fight back, they couldn't, because there's these trauma responses in our body that happen and they paralyze us. And so we can't run and escape the situation. We can't fight back. And trauma affects us. And and when we realize that and realize that you know, we can forgive ourselves and we can let go of that shame and guilt that the enemy wants to pile on top of us. And when we realize that and empower them with the resources and tools that they need to heal, there's just power in that. And in that interaction with them, however long I'm with them, I was able to plant those seeds of hope and erase the damage done by the perpetrator and take back the victory, which is ours. And so the Lord actually called me to totally retire from nursing. Only last month, I believe, I submitted it and retired my nursing license. And he's like, no, you're going to focus on full time going where I send you, being that ambassador of hope and healing all around the world, healing everyone, breaking every chain and setting every one of my children free in the name of Jesus. And so that's the journey that I've been on.
That's beautiful. So now you and your husband have a trauma focused prophetic healing ministry. You have a Reflective Spaces Ministry. Is this a place where, tell me a little bit about that. What is the mission of the of your that you're on right now? And is this 10-acre piece of property part of that healing ministry? Or
yes, it is. You know, when you get an environment and we take time to be still, then we can hear the whisper, but we can also calm our amygdala and that part of the brain where those emotional memories are housed and where triggering can occur. And so by creating basically a park a cone of safety for survivors of human trafficking, childhood trauma, financial crimes, any, you know, domestic violence, any of those can come here, and they can either sit on a park bench by the lake, they can kayak, they can walk on the 10 acres of land. They can interact with our animals that we have here. And we also have a tiny home retreat to where survivors will come from out of state, and they will come in and I will work with them with their trauma. I say me, but it's the Lord, and work with them to help them get deliverance and truly find the freedom. And all of our work is free. We don't charge for anything. We just, you know, have donations that come in through our ministry, our nonprofit. And we just work with them and help to undo the lies of the enemy and get to the root, because we really have to pluck the root. It's never the addiction. It's never, that isolated incident. Usually there's something that happened that's an earlier trigger, a root that we have to uproot and take out and plead the blood of Jesus over so that they can get true healing. And there's a lot of little girls and boys, like I left mine at Ave Maria, they leave theirs here, and they go on to be successful and break free and are shed of the layers and the weight of the shame and the guilt and the anxiety, the depression, and all that goes along with that trauma cascade. So we do the healing work, the ministry work, and it's either a weekend or it's about a six days is usually all we need, 5 or 6 days. They're ready when they come. The Lord just keeps sending them, and they keep getting delivered and set free and go off to be disciples, right? And break every chain for those that they encounter.
You know, I love that, because I know as part of my Christian journey, I wasn't brought up a Christian. I became a Christian as a teenager. Through reading the Bible, actually, just a revelation of the Holy Spirit. But then the first church that I went to, as in terms of a Bible-believing church, was very, very big on discipleship, you know, inner healing, deliverance, all these things. And I'm so thankful for people who understood that part of our transformation, you know, in terms of helping to walk the wholeness and the restoration of what Jesus died for. And I can imagine, as you work with individuals and even for yourself, that even after you get born again, now there's certain things that need to be walked out, right? And what would you say would be some of the barriers that keep, and let's just talk specifically about, would it be sexually assaulted or sex trafficked, or, you know, any kind of sexual trauma that's happened repeatedly over the years that someone is walking away from and trying to recover from? What are some of the barriers they may face to actually walking in the fullness of the freedom that Jesus died for?
Well, they can feel that they're not worthy. They're not clean enough. They're not righteous. They're not worthy. They can have condemnation. And sadly, we as a church body can put that on them. And, you know, and they can feel like they just can't reach out. But that's not true, because Jesus came into the world to save it, not condemn it. And by his stripes and by the cross, we are set free. And as long as we believe in him, we are righteous. And the Holy Spirit can live in us, and we can, you know, be transformed, which is what he did for me. And he transformed me layer and layer. He shed my food addiction. I've lost like 75, 80 pounds, and he can take care of it all. But we have to also submit and surrender to him. And a lot of people, men have hurt them if they're women, and they have a hard time letting go of control. And we really don't have control. We never did. But we try to hold on to it. And the key to transformation in Christ is surrender. You truly have to surrender to his will and not yours and not your intellect, because it's supernatural, even the healing. Yeah. But it's ours, and we can have it. But he is a good father. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never hurt you. And he is the steadfast anchor of hope that you can tether to so tightly that will never, ever let you down. And that's the thing, is realizing he's not like the father that victimized you. He is a good father, a loving father. I mean, look, Abba Father gave his son to die on the cross so we could live. Who does that? That's how much he loves us. He loves his children. We're the sheep in his pasture. So there's hope and love, and that's what Jesus came to let us know, right? Hope, love thy neighbor as thyself, love God. It's all about love. And that's what we need to get across in this society. That we need to love. We need to love each other. And there is no condemnation in Christ.
No, there isn't. So I would love, if someone listening today and want to know how to follow you, want to know how to find out more about what you do and maybe get in touch with you, where can they go?
They can go to reflectivespacesministry.com, www.reflectivespacesministry.com. You can also subscribe to my YouTube channel and podcast, and it's called Reflective Hour with Tammy Tony Butler.
Fantastic. And we'll have that in the description down below. Yes. And her podcast on YouTube is called Reflective Hour with Tammy Tony Butler. So good to have you here, Tammy. Any last minute, if someone is listening today and they want to be free, they want to experience all that you've experienced in terms of your freedom restoration, but they're stuck, they feel like even trusting God is a big hurdle, you know, maybe they're angry at God. What would you say to them as a first step?
I would say to surrender, but I would say, look at what the Word says. There's freedom in the Word. And when we look at the scriptures and we look at Mark 11, 23 through 24, that is a great scripture to look at. And when we, you know, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Believe that you receive healing, and speak to that mountain of trauma, and say, no more will you control my life. I will walk in victory, in power, and might, and I will fulfill my ordained purpose from God, because he knew me before he formed me in the womb, and I'm fearfully, beautifully, and wonderfully made, a daughter or son of the King.
Amen. I love it. Yes, amen. The power of the Word and declaration. To be able to, you know, the Word of God is true. The Word of God is true. And we need to speak to our own cells of our own body, the truth, so that they can come into alignment and with the truth. And so thank you so much, Tammy, for being here. And I look forward to staying connected. And thank you for the work that you do to help others to take what has happened in your life and how God has worked in your life and now pass that on to others so that they can experience the fullness and the freedom of that Jesus died for them. Thank you for dedicating your life to that.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks for having me on your platform.
You're most welcome. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. Make sure you share this episode with someone you love that needs to hear this information. Maybe they just need to be awakened to some things or to have hope that there is a way out or that there is a way to heal and be restored. And I encourage you to reach out to Tammy and follow her and let's all together help bring healing and hope to those who are hurting and who the enemy has tried to keep down. We know that when they rise up in the truth, they become a weapon against the kingdom of darkness. And so let your light shine. Your message is meant to bring healing to others, and your voice is an instrument of transformation. So let it be heard. Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time.